Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome in on a Friday. Good morning, Jim Costa, Stoney, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. And what is going to largely be a football Friday, we got a massive game, the mega matchup with Minnesota coming up. But Stoney, we got some things that happened last night that we want to get out of the way to start the show.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, everybody doing all right today?
Yes, happy Friday.
Yes, indeed. The Detroit Red Wings, ladies and gentlemen. That was pretty damn awesome. And it was very gutsy. What Todd McClellan did, if you didn't know, it was 4-3 in the game, and Columbus scored to tie it with about, 2.5 minutes left to play.
Yep.
And the Red Wings coaching staff, who under the previous administration have been awesome on challenges, they really were. Well, Todd McClellan and company decided, we thought there was a little goaltender interference there. Let's check it out.
But understanding what this risk means, yes. If you're wrong, they'll go on the power play in a tie game.
Right, and with about two and a half minutes left. And the Red Wings challenge was defeated.
So now you're going, oh, no.
Yeah, they're going on the power play. And look, the penalty kill's been a little better, obviously, since the coaching switch. But still, you don't want to go a man short for the last, 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes of the game, whatever. And, Columbus was buzzing and then took a shot, and Sherratt blocked it. Tyler Mott with a...
like a shuffleboard pass.
Yes, diving, gets it out to Bergeron, coming out of the penalty box, and he scores the goal that you heard in the update from Dustin, and the Wings win their third in a row.
Third in a row. Three of four since the coaching change.
First one on the road, right?
Yep. Hot start, 3-1. Offense is buzzing, the stuff we hadn't seen really all season, right? Puck possession, shots on goal, net front, all the things that you need to do to win hockey. Stoney, they were playing effing hockey, and they were up 3-1. Now, here's a real test. You give it back in the second period.
Yes.
You're on the road. You're going to hang your head? Oh, no. And they didn't. Larkin got a big goal to put him up, and he's starting to pick it up a little bit now. But I thought the ultimate gutsy thing is you got to bail your coach out.
Yes.
He's come in here and he's tried and you guys are playing for him. But now you got to bail him out. You got to kill this penalty. And it's...
they did.
Yeah. Bergeron, breakaway.
Yeah.
Goal. And they're fun. They're fun. I don't know where this is going. I mean, we could have a little bit of, channel the Tigers.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let the Red Wings get hot here.
Right.
But yeah, going into the new year, there is a little bit of buzz.
Yeah, which is good. And, they have some more, are they going, another road game against a pretty good Winnipeg team.
But then they come home for four.
Yes. So those are the games. The next five games, we did the whole playoff thing, how unlikely it is. But, out of our 10 possible points in the next five games, six would be pretty damn good, wouldn't it?
Yep. I think four back now.
Yeah.
And there's so much hockey to go.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Which I think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Also, bye-bye to the SEC.
Yeah, wasn't that a little interesting, huh? Bye-bye to all the teams that got byes, too. Bye-bye.
I was wondering if someone was going to sing it. Heather, it looked like you're
perfect. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Just with the hand movements, too. You got to do the dance.
Technically, Texas is still in, so the SEC is represented. But,
right.
But I think the big headline was the SEC champ got dethroned. It's been a tough year for the SEC.
And the only SEC team that's in there wasn't even in the SEC last year. Texas is still a Big 12 team to me.
So you're right. All of the home side lost.
Yeah.
Not the home side. The buy side lost.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So no conference champion is left standing.
Correct. Right. Oregon gone. Arizona State gone. Clemson gone. Georgia gone.
And with Georgia, I know they had a backup quarterback. That's not the way people were talking before the game.
No.
It was expected to be a very close competitive football game. It was not.
No. Well, yeah, there was a plays that swung the game. But, it was what we thought we'd see early in the game. a tight defensive contest, and it was, you know, 6-3, and Kirby Smart decided to be a little aggressive, and he got backfired. Instead of just running the ball and maybe going in the half down 6-3, they tried to, you know, spruce it up a little bit, and it didn't work.
So the coaches talk about the middle eight, like the minutes right before the half and the minutes right after the half. The literal minute before you give up a touchdown, and right. the literal kickoff after is a touchdown.
Right, the first half, the first kickoff at the start of the second half, and it was over after that.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a rock fight, and two big plays can swing an entire football game. And even then, I thought Notre Dame was doing a better job getting the big plays or the tough plays or the winning plays of that football game.
Did in watching that game, Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
A little bit of Dan Campbell in him, huh? I mean, I went for a fourth down only once. I looked. I thought it was more, but it wasn't. But when they did that funky punt thing where they completely substituted and run, and they talked about it after the game, how they just practiced it. They practiced it. And even at the press conference, Riley Leonard said, no, he did it, meaning Marcus Freeman. And he seems like such a great guy to play for, by the way. And it was just very confusing to Georgia. I think that what they got a penalty on it.
Yep.
And, you know, they went down the field. Look, it was, like I said, it was, 6-3 at one point. It should have been more than that. Georgia should have scored another touchdown early in the game.
Oh, you're talking about
Parker Jones. Like, 24 hours ago, if you had, you know, Googled Parker Jones, nothing would probably come out. Parker Jones was on the sideline on a pass play. Parker Jones is a walk-on player for Georgia, okay? He wasn't even in uniform. He had his jersey on under his civilian clothes, as they like to say, civvies. And he threw a pass to Stockton, the backup quarterback, to Arian Smith, 66 yards down the right sideline to the 12-yard line. Mm-hmm. But there was a flag on the play because Parker Jones, who, like I said, was in civilian clothes with his jersey on, backup, walk-on quarterback, never played any, a cornerback, never played a snap, in his excitement, collided with the referee down the sideline, which is a 15-yard penalty. So instead of getting the ball first and 10 at the 12, it got backed up to the 27, and they had to settle for a field goal. Now, was it a game-changing play? No, but, you know, 4 points is 4 points. Now, there's no guarantee Georgia still would have scored a touchdown, because Notre Dame's defense was really good.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now everybody's looking up this guy. And Do you just leave school now?
I didn't see the press conference. I don't know. I assume Kirby Smart was asked about it, but I don't know. I mean, if you're Parker Jones, you know, you think, oh, I'm a walk-on, but I'm a Georgia. I'm a, you know, BMOC. He ain't even going to class for the second semester. He's out of there. Yeah. Right?
He gone.
Yeah.
I mean, unless his dad or mom is some big mega donor to the school, yeah. You're not welcome, and you probably don't want to be there right now. Yeah, that's a really ugly spot.
It's crazy. Sets up a pretty interesting game on Thursday night.
So think about this. The teams left standing all are in a decade or longer championship drought. Ohio State last won in 2014, the most recent. Texas 05, Vince Young.
Right.
Then you got to go back to the 80s for Notre Dame and Penn State.
Yes.
So this playoff has created what we wanted. Less of the same teams and a little more variety, right?
Yeah. Ohio State still is always, even though they didn't win, but they're in there. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't like limit. You're going to have some blue bloods. You're going to have some powerhouse teams.
Well, you still have, technically, even though they haven't won championships in the length of time, you have four blue bloods.
These are brands.
Yes.
My brands, point, though, is that teams that weren't winning before are now going to win, which was the whole point of settling it on the field. And I don't know. I'm so happy we made these changes to the sport because, Stoney, the old sport, while Georgia didn't win the game, they hypothetically would have. And that used to matter.
Right.
It used to matter that Georgia hypothetically would have won that game last night.
Yeah.
They didn't have to play it previously. See, now we played it, and Notre Dame's got a 7-minute drive in the fourth quarter where they're getting tough yards against the bigger, faster, stronger SEC. Can we be done with that narrative? That the SEC is not better, superior?
Especially with the transfer portal, because a lot of the guys are going to other schools. I mean, Notre Dame, I mean, Marcus Freeman said, we don't want to major in the transfer portal. We want to minor in it.
And a lot of their
their quarterback was a transfer, obviously. The kid from Marshall who returned the kickoff was a transfer. Rod Heard, one of their cornerbacks, went to Farmington Hills Harrison, transfer from Northwestern.
I mean, they had a Duke defensive lineman who had a big forced fumble in the game.
Exactly.
It's just spread the talent out. And it's funny, now that everybody can pay players, suddenly the SEC is not dominant. Weird.
That's weird, right?
How that happened.
That's absolutely. And also,
total coincidence.
What it does is it sets up a probable, basically on favorites, right?
Yeah.
A national championship between the two teams I can't stand the most. But all I got to say is fight on for old Notre Dame if that happens.
In that world, a former Ohio State Buckeye player would coach Notre Dame to a victory over Ohio State in the national title.
Oh, my God. And if he outcoached them, the Ohio State lunatic fringe, Kirk Herbst, why don't we go to pay and get Marcus Freeman here?
Wow. And we're going to pick the games coming up at 6:35 today. We got a bunch of NFL games, too. We'll talk Lions, huge game against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Questions like, is Minnesota an equal of the Detroit Lions? And the emotions that have you counting down the days until we get to Minnesota Sunday night here in Detroit. Coming up next, some audio about the Detroit Tigers.
Ooh!
That's not audio you want to hear. It's 97.1. Brought up another fun Red Wing win and a Georgia exit. A couple storylines from last night. Before we get into a heavy football show, there's also a bit of Tigers fodder.
Ooh.
Yeah.
By the way, thoughts and prayers to Jimmy Powers and Kenny Cott.
Other Bulldogs.
And a little bit of me. I still root for him because my daughter went there for a little bit. So we were a little disappointed, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, SEC losing doesn't bother me one bit.
I know. Nor should it.
The Tigers. Ken Rosenthal. You like him?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think he's one of those guys, people, when they hear his name and it carries some weight what he says in the game of baseball.
You ever seen him in person?
I think so, yeah.
I'd like to see a one-on-one match between him and either Mitch Albom or Mike Lupica. Very short fellows.
Yeah. Well, his answer, not that short, but this is what he thinks about the Tigers' pursuit of Alex Bregman.
Great. Happy New Year, everyone.
That's from the Fair Territory podcast. Mm-hmm. He's right.
Yeah, exactly. He is very right.
Bregman is established. He makes sense. He fits. He'd be a culture pusher, right? He'd push the culture forward. He'd produce. Mm-hmm.
The resume speaks for itself for Bregman and for what Chris Ilitch has spent and not spent.
Well, and
speaks
for
itself. Yeah.
His point is, I mean, because Scott's only handed out deals of short term.
Correct.
And Bregman wants a longer term deal. And however you define that, 5-6 years.
Right.
And a number that's going to be north of $100 million in total commitments, 150, maybe even 175. But that has become the sticking point is, will this team, this is not an outrageous spend.
No.
Will they just compete in the open market in free agency?
Right.
And it sounds like they're in on Bregman.
Yes.
But they may have a hard line in the sand. And I just worry that they're waiting for someone to outbid them.
Yeah.
Rather than being the team that says, how do we get the deal done today?
Right.
Let's stop messing around.
I saw something late last night that said it's going to be between the Tigers and Toronto.
I've seen some of that.
And look, he's got his buddy Springer there. I assume they're friends.
Sure.
But there's a huge tax difference between here and playing in Canada. I don't know. I still think they can get it done.
Same.
They will have to spend a little bit more than I think they want. And I think Bregman has to be realistic and say, I'm going to take a little less than what I want to. Just get it done.
Why does he have to take less? Because I think if I'm his agent, I'm telling him, we've got the Tigers' offer here. We're okay with it. But we'll see if somebody else wants a bat. We have no issue. You know, it's on the it's on both sides, but it feels like the Tigers need to aggressively get this deal done because the longer it lingers, the more you're waiting for someone else to usurp you, make a bigger offer. And then you go, oh, well, we tried.
Yeah, we tried.
We just weren't willing to pay an extra 10 or an extra year. What? Why?
I know.
This isn't a Soto deal for half a billion dollars or $750 million.
Right.
This deal, Bregman, at Bregman's top dollar, does not put the Tigers in the luxury tax. It does not put him in the top 10 of payroll. It does not put him in the top half of payroll.
No, just get to the middle of the pack. Do something. show your fan base. Now, granted, most people will not be spending, you know, oodles of dollars for these new seats behind home plate. But there are people who are, who will. Show them something. Give them something that says, you know what? You guys are spending money. You can have some of my money.
It's an investment.
Last year was fun and all that. You can't just live off that and live off and sit there and wait for McGonagall and Max Clark and that whole deal. That doesn't fly anymore. You know, it might have flew in a little bit if you didn't make your run. But now we say, okay, we can compete.
And the answer has always been both. I don't feel like I personally give Harris enough credit for the player development tweaks
right.
and progress that they've made, but it has to be both. And when we had him on in the summer, he copped to that too. It has to be both, player
right.
development and external ads. And they
right.
can do both, and they should do both. And I know people are going to go, well, there is a downside to handing out a sixth year on a player who will be 36.
I know.
You can have a bad contract at the end. You can't have six or seven of them, but you can have one at the end that doesn't age properly.
Right.
Like, Javi will be gone by that point.
Right. Look, we have a lot of people have PTSD from Miggy.
Sure.
And I get it. But Scott Harris, while he was here for Miggy's last year, he didn't give him that contract. He shouldn't have that.
He shouldn't have that PTSD.
No.
Let's get a quick phone call before the news. Kevin and Macomb, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. That what Ken Rosenthal just said, that was literally like a mic drop, because that, to a T, is what the organization is like right now. You know, you see some things about how they're interested in Bregman and Santander, but, I mean, you guys know, and anybody who knows who follows the team and Ilitch's past, they're probably giving the lowest possible offer that they can give. And then when you have a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers who just up it by, what, $500,000, they're pulling right out. They're not going. They're looking for a hometown discount. They don't want to pay these guys. I mean, you look at – I mean, this is just for perspective. Tom Gores, they hired Monty Williams last year. They gave him an astronomically huge contract, and he bought him out. He paid
yes.
him out.
Yes. And you have
Chris Ilitch with Javi Baez, who's not going to pay him out. And right now, you could say arguably Chris Ilitch is the worst owner in the city. And that's saying a lot, because Tom Gores, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing. But you know what?
At least he put his money where his mouth was.
He's trying, at least.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm not mad at Scott Harris. I'm mad at Chris Ilitch, because you know what? I just don't think he gives a crap. And it's just, we're going to lose Scooble. You know that's coming.
It's concerning.
I hate to be depressing, but. Yeah, that was a mic drop, literally, with what Rosenthal just said.
Yeah.
I like his points about Gores, because, you know, all the foibles and flaws, and we've talked about him on the station a lot about Gores. No problem that he would write a check, go over the luxury tax or the cap if he had to for the Pistons. There's no doubt in my mind.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
All right, so the FBI is now saying that that man who drove a truck into a crowd on Bourbon Street in New Orleans acted alone. So they previously believed that he worked with others, but now the FBI says that the suspect posted 5 videos on his Facebook account in the hours before the attack, which he proclaimed his support for ISIS. He also kind of like previewed the violence he was about to unleash. And an FBI spokesperson said, quote, "This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act." They also went on to note that the suspect was 100% inspired by the Islamic State. And officials have concluded that none of those individuals we talked about yesterday that were seen on surveillance video standing near explosives in the city were involved in any way. You know what they were? They were just a whole bunch of drunk people having fun on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
They were the explosive devices were in coolers planted by the driver.
Okay.
And these people saw a cooler on the street, thought, maybe there's some booze in there. They say they looked in the cooler, found no booze, and just kept carrying on. Most likely didn't even realize what they were looking at. One, probably because they were intoxicated and they were strictly looking for booze. So those people had nothing to do with an attack at all. So clears that story up, which we discussed yesterday. This is pretty cool. Macomb County 911 dispatcher is being praised for helping a Clinton Township family deliver a baby over the phone last weekend. So on Sunday, December 29th, the dispatcher got a call from a man whose wife was in active labor. He said, her water has broke, her contractions are less than a minute apart. Help me out, right? So, of course, the dispatcher gets the fire department on the line, sends help over, but she delivers the baby before anyone even gets there. She was able to walk this man through everything he needed to do, also to help the baby's breathing post-birth, and she stayed on the line until the fire department got there, and now she's just being praised for her, you know, composure, her professional manner while she was on the phone, and both mom and baby are doing great, so...
Good.
Good story.
And good job to dad, too, most likely, for staying calm, delivering that baby, and mostly good job to mama, right?
Like, no kidding. Whoo!
And the kid's got a good birthday, December 29th.
Oh, hey, sure they do.
They tried to wait it out so he'd have the same birthday as LeBron and Tiger, which is the next day. They couldn't do it.
Had to stick with Stoney's birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Consolation prize.
A shooting and targeted child abduction left 2 people killed and 3 people in police custody in Washtenaw County. Happened on New Year's Day. Police responded to a home in Northfield Township where they discovered a 74-year-old man and a 50-year-old woman shot and killed. A 53-year-old man was suffering from a gunshot wound but was still alive. And it was also discovered that 2 young girls aged 7 and 4 were abducted during this incident, leading to a manhunt. Thankfully, the girls were recovered. I don't know their condition, but they were found. They were taken to the hospital for, evaluation. 3 people are in custody. And what it sounds like is that at least one of those girls was in foster care, mm-hmm. living with their foster parents. And the people who were arrested were related to that particular child. Really, really, really sad story. Yeah. Saquon Barkley is having some fun trolling his former team. On Thursday, he partnered with the sleep aid Unisom, and he unveiled some videos where he takes some subtle shots at the New York Giants owner, John Mara. So, a little backstory. On one of the episodes of Hard Knocks, Mara was caught on camera saying that he was going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philly, right? Well... Saquon went to Philly, so here are the at least one of the little videos.
Oh, man. There's more. And that is Saquon Barkley trolling the Giants, which is amazing.
Yes.
Heather with the news. Picks next, 97.1. Another week of the picks. Quick updated standings. Heather in first place, you may have heard, 74-53. Mm-hmm. She went 4-3 last week, just handing out winners. 11 game lead on me and Tom. We both went 3-4 last week. We're not going the right direction. Greg and John Jansen in dead last. Shout out to Stoney, who's 8-6, a winning record filling in here.
Woo.
All right, let's get after it, Greg.
CFP semifinal at the Cotton Bowl. Getting into this game early, the Ohio State University favored by 5.5 against Texas in Jerry World. Jim.
Michigan woke them up, and they are going to put everybody to bed. Ohio State's going to win the whole thing. They'll lay 5.5 and win the game.
Yeah, everything points to Ohio State here. I mean, they're just absolutely on fire right now, doubling up both playoff games. I'm going to go with them here, but the wild card here is Texas throws in Arch Manning and changes everything.
I think Ohio State is by far the best team still around, and I think they curb stomp them. Give me the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm going to echo everything you've already said. I'm going with Ohio State as well.
You're turning on McConaughey.
Yeah, you know.
What about John Jansen? He hates Ohio State. And he is going with the Buckeyes. Don't forget to run the ball, Sark. Texas. The other CFP semifinal. This one's on Thursday. That's why we're picking it today. Notre Dame early line favored by 1.5 against the Pennsylvania State University in the Orange Bowl, Gov.
Notre Dame probably has the best defense in the country when it comes down to it. I'm going to take them here. I'm a little puzzled that this line is this small. It makes me a little concerned, but I'm going the fighting Irish. I like Notre Dame.
I like Notre Dame as well. Abdul Carter, who knows whether they're going to win or not? Who knows whether he's going to play or not? And if he doesn't play, they're in a heap of trouble. Give me the fighting Irish.
Yeah, I want Notre Dame too.
What about John Jansen? He was recruited by Notre Dame. He probably hates Notre Dame too because he went to Michigan. What's he say? All right, enough of that. Another pick for Notre Dame. The Orangeville Trophy looks like someone procrastinating on a work assignment. Oh, crap, that's today? Someone just buy a big glass bowl and put some oranges in it. All right, cool. Notre Dame wins. Jim.
Having said that, it's still a cool trophy. And yes, I will join the chorus of people backing Notre Dame. I'm not betting James Franklin as an underdog in a big spot. They'll lay the egg.
Let's go to the NFL. Packers favored by 10.5 as they welcome the Bears into Lambeau Field. Stoney.
The Bears, they don't want any part of this game. They would just want to go home. And Green Bay, there's still some seating issues there. Give me the Packers big.
Yeah, I think just for fun, I'm going to go with the Bears.
What about John? John's with Heather. That's
now, did John
a bear.
Did he make that sound effect himself?
No, that is the sound of a bear.
Or a Packer.
Bears put a scare to the pack, Chicago. Jim.
I'll lay the 10.5 points. To Stoney's point, they've been thinking vacation for a couple weeks in Chicago. Packers, it's a big deal. They want to avoid the 7 seed. They want to get up to the 6 seed so they don't have to go to Philadelphia. Packers win. Big.
Yeah, the Bears have just showed zero life. Like the whole, hey, let's rally the troops the last game of the year and play good. It's not happening. I'm going Green Bay here. Jim mentioned seeding purposes, and the fact that the Bears scored 3 points last week just puts the nail in the coffin for me.
It's play well. Bengals go to Pittsburgh as 1.5-point road favorites. Let's start with Heather.
Joe Burrow bought the offensive line samurai swords, and that's pretty cool, so I'm going with the Bengals.
It's the highest form of respect.
Yeah.
John. All right, that's the Bengals fight song. All of those old fight songs are terrible.
Oh, they're great. I love them.
I never heard that one before, believe it or not.
Steelers enter the day with a chance to still win the division. They will not shut it down if the Ravens close the North and win it a half hour before kickoff. Steelers. Jim.
I have flip-flopped on this game so much. We did this dance earlier. The Bengals were 4-7, favored over the Steelers, who had a winning record, and the Steelers won that game outright. This is Tomlin as a home underdog. I don't trust the Bengals. Give me the Steelers.
I'm going to go with the Bengals here because I think the Ravens are going to close things up, and the Steelers are going to call off the dogs and be smart. They will be smart in the second half, and the Bengals will take advantage of that, and the Steelers will start benching defensive players. And the Bengals have a huge advantage here playing the day before. They still have a chance to make it. I will go Cincy.
Cincinnati is 73-43 against the spread on the road dating back to 2011. Give me the Bengals.
Dolphins seeking a playoff spot against the Jets, favored by 1.5 on the road. John. Are you sure you can't? Jets games should be coming with the Surgeon General's warning. Watching this could be hazards to your health. Dolphins. Jim.
I hate this. You have to back the Dolphins in the cold or back the Jets, period.
Yeah.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
You just can't let them go, can you? I mean, they were 6-2 at the bye. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, right.
All right, sorry. I'm being very mean. I will go with the Jets, too, because of the cold factor. And I do think Aaron Rodgers has some pride, and he'll show it this week. And I just don't trust the Dolphins. This is a rivalry game, by the way. These two teams do not like each other. I think the Jets do what the Bears don't, and the Jets win this game.
Now, that's the funniest joke you've ever told, Gov.
This is the Aaron Rodgers versus Huntley matchup that we've all been waiting for. It's cold. I think Aaron Rodgers knows this could be his last game in the National Football League. Give me the Jets.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the Dolphins because the Dolphins make me think of Ace Ventura, which makes me think of Snowflake and Dan Marino, which was a Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes sense to me.
It does.
Broncos are 10.5-point home favorites against the 15-1 Chiefs. Chiefs are going to shut it down. See y'all in 2 weeks. Broncos.
Are they shutting it down, like, significantly? I know Mahomes isn't playing, but are they going to shut the whole team down for 24 days? I don't know that I buy that. I think they can keep it close. Give me Kansas City.
Andy Reid dials up a game plan using Carson Wentz just in case he needs him down the road to put some points on the board here. This game's going to be close. Maybe the Broncos eke it out long term, but I'm taking the Chiefs here. I will never, ever. I don't care who's playing for Andy Reid. Still the coach. Is he off? Is he taking a bye? And they still have a defense against Bo Nix, a rookie quarterback.
I know Chris Jones isn't playing. They have other guys not playing behind besides Mahomes. I don't think Kelsey's playing. But Carson Wentz is probably one of the best backup quarterbacks in this league. They'll dial up some stuff. Gov's right. They'll keep it close. Give me the Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Broncos because there's lots of reasons. But did you guys know that they've got a player named Little Jordan?
Yeah.
Little, yeah.
L-I-L.
Yeah, I know.
Lil.
I got
But he's not Lil.
He's not. Mm-hmm. No.
Like
he's
Colin.
6'4". Exactly.
Going with the Broncos there, Heather. John. Hail to the Chiefs, says John Jansen. Lions host the Vikings, NFC North, number one seed, bye week, home field advantage on the line on Sunday Night Football. Lions favored by 2.5. Jim.
Lions, come on now. Dan Campbell owns Kevin O'Connell. Jared Goff owns Brian Flores, and the Lions offense scores more points and wins the game. Give me the Leos.
Greg, I'm going to put you on a spot here because I didn't tell you this and I should have. So very bad to do this to a producer live on the air, but it's time to open up something that we did a few weeks ago against Buffalo. Do you have some music?
Oh, no.
Do we have any disco
I'm gonna have music?
Right now. Can we search disco and put it in? Because the Lions are going to win this game by double digits. The double digit disco is back open. I'm not scared. The QB situation here is extremely different. We've got a tier two. They got a three or four. He's coming in here. Lions win by at least 10.
You mentioned the quarterbacks. Jared Goff, 15-4-1 against the spread in divisional games over 2021. However, Sam Darnold, 8-1 against the spread as an underdog. It's going to be the standard. That's what I'm here for. Lions 31, Vikings 30.
All right. Well, you guys, I'm going to go with my people. Not my people as in the Vikings, but my people as in Detroiters. I am going with the Lions. My genuine people. Let's go, Lions.
There you go, Hev. John, what do you got? John with the Lions. The logo on the Vikings helmet looks like a toilet flush handle. Lions.
He's right.
Is
you
that
know.
Stoney on Viking Island?
Yeah. Lions win, so I don't care.
Of all the people I picked that was making the picks to do that, I pick you.
Yeah, of course.
Those are the picks. Mm-hmm. It's 97-1. Hey, heads up. Today we have Lions tickets to give away. Be listening. We'll tell you how, tell you when. And you could be there Sunday night when the Lions play the Vikings.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be great.
Can't wait. Stoney, we've talked about this game. Last chance to talk about it is today. Just a basic question here.
Yeah.
The records are equal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you treat the Vikings, do you view them as an equal?
Well, I think the Lions are a little better, but as far as, you know, yeah, I think they're equal. I think the Lions are a better team, but they're pretty, but it's close. It really is close, and not an excuse, but part of it is because of the injuries on the defense.
Oh, yeah, obviously. If Hutch was healthy, if you know, Anzalone was 100%, if they had everybody on defense.
Yeah, it'd be different.
If McNeil's playing and Carlton Davis is out there, no, there's no equal in the whole league to the healthy Detroit Lions.
Right, they're pretty equal. They really are. Now, the Lions have blown out some bad teams where the Vikings all they did was win, and that's all the most important thing. But yeah, the way they're playing right now, they're equal. Look, if you want to break it down, look, the Lions' offense is better. Okay, I don't care how good Minnesota's receivers are. I don't care how good Darnold's playing. The Lions have a better offense. The Vikings have a better defense. Special teams, I give the advantage to the Lions. Coaching, I'm biased because I'll say Campbell because of what he's done, but O'Connell is going to be – whoever wins this game should be coach of the year, although it won't happen if the Lions win. I just don't think
– which is ridiculous.
I know. I understand. Yeah, I agree with you. But, yeah, so, they are equal.
I think they're equal, too.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries.
Yes.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
I think Detroit's got the better offense. Minnesota's got the better defense. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Detroit's only favored by 2.5.
Right.
I know this number isn't absolute, but the old school thought is 3 points for home field.
Right.
This is actually saying they're a little better than the Lions.
Yeah.
But I think it's splitting hairs. Half point here, half point there. They're saying these two teams are equal. That these two are going to look in a mirror and see one another. I think they're equal. Now, I think the edge is you're playing the game at home.
Right.
And the edge is your offense is a little better. And if it comes down to one possession at the end of the game, which right. offense do you trust to convert the big fourth down or not settle for a field goal in the red zone and get a touchdown? It's Dan Campbell going for it. It's yes. Jared Goff executing it. And it's probably St. Brown or Gibbs in the end zone.
Yes.
I really feel like the Lions are, as injured as they are, a smidge better than the Vikings.
Yes. But that's pretty equal.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going double-digit disco,
no.
which Gov just kind of slid in there in the picks.
No.
Doing his own Boogie Wonderland, but...
Yeah. See, I got...
What do you got here?
Equal.
Yes. 248...
The artificial sweetener for those of you not scoring at home.
Number's 248-539-9797. And then we also just want to know, like, what your mood is going into this game. Always a comedian, Stoney. How would you describe... Use one word to describe the emotion you have. We can collect those on the ticket text and the phone calls. In addition to just, do you view the Vikings as your equal? Or is this a spot where you go, hey, we're going to thump them. We're going to roll up a big number. Sam Darnold's no good. Sam Darnold's had a really nice season.
Yes.
I think too many people are downplaying the year and the season that Sam Darnold has had.
They're just looking at New York Jets Sam Darnold. That's what they're looking at. And that Sam Darnold is gone.
It'd be one thing if they were just kind of babying Darnold. Like, I think there are people who maybe haven't watched enough Vikings
right.
who think it's check downs and they're running the ball and they're protecting and sheltering poor Sam Darnold,
no.
who's no good.
No.
He's throwing down the field, aggressive shots deep down the field, big-time throws. He's one of the best. They track this. One of the best in the NFL in the big-time throw category.
Yes, and he, as you pointed out, and with Dan Campbell, he draws a lot of defensive pass interference calls.
Yeah.
A lot of that's because of the receivers. He's not afraid now. Over the season, he's made a few more mistakes than Jared Goff.
Correct.
If we're going to compare quarterbacks, you'd rather have Jared Goff. There's no doubt about that.
Correct.
But this isn't some, scrub quarterback.
I don't understand how the Lions fans, who watched a broken quarterback be rebuilt, are going to act like it's not happening in Minnesota, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except Jared Goff had success before he broke down a little bit. That's the difference. He took a team to the Super Bowl. He had a great NFC Championship game. That's the difference.
No, Goff's better than Darnold. But the idea that we watched one quarterback get built up, but then we like, la, 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 cover our ears and pretend it's not happening in the division. They're 14 wins.
Yeah.
That's not a fluke.
And he's made some big throws in crunch time,
yes.
too.
He's on his fourth team.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He was left for dead. So he was at the bottom of the barrel. Knew he could maybe be a backup at best in this league. That's why they got him. Look, he hasn't elevated himself to Jared Goff. I think there's a significant difference here. Has he played well? Yeah. Has he game managed? Yeah, he's also gotten away with a lot of passes this year that should have been picked off. And I can't get away from some of their game. Like, this is the elevation of the Vikings, and the fact is that they barely got by against the Cardinals at home. That they barely won at Jacksonville 12-7, a game I watched some of, and I was like, wow, I just feel like the Lions are at a different level. And I'm going to say this right now. I think the Vikings and even the Packers are a little bit inflated based on the schedule that the division played this year, which was the AFC South. The Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers are 12-0 against the AFC South. So all their records are elevated. I would say even the Lions is probably a plus one.
Yeah.
But the Lions are a better team than these other two teams. And that's why I've been so confident all year. And I'm still going to say that they are. They haven't. The Vikings have not been into this environment, and nothing enough is not being put on this for this game this week. Everything that Dan Campbell and every single player that's been part of this for 3 years, 4 years, but three, especially the last three, it's all for this moment.
Yeah,
it is no all for that. This moment. By far the better team, the more talented team, seven Pro Bowlers. Doesn't that rise to the occasion this week?
I think that's why they're going to win the game.
Yeah, but I don't think they're teams are not equals. They're just not.
I mean,
I don't know. Defensively, I think they're superior to the Lions with all the injuries.
Correct.
I don't know about superior.
I mean, the two edge guys, Van Ginkle right. and Greenard, like,
yes.
those are guys that the Lions would desperately want on this
Absolutely.
Defense right now. Their front's better.
Yeah. They're much better.
And when you're missing Carlton Davis, it's hard to make the argument that your secondary is significantly better.
Right. The cornerbacks are better. Our safeties are still better.
Correct. And in totality, I think the Lions are maybe a little better, but it's two 14-win football teams.
Right.
I think they are largely equal, and the difference is your quarterback's a little better, our quarterback's a
yes,
little better.
Exactly.
And the game is being played in front of our fans.
Yeah.
Our people, as Heather says.
Yes. Now, can the fans and the noise, can it really F up with Darnold? Yeah.
But I want to give you a stat on Darnold. I mentioned big-time throws. It's a PFF stat. You don't have to love PFF, and you could say maybe the stat's not perfect, but it's just to give you some context. Sam Darnold has 33 big-time throws. The only quarterbacks with
How do you define a big-time throw?
However they would define a big-time throw. The only guys with more, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. He's right there with Herbert and Lamar for big-time throws in the top five. Now, to get to Jared Goff, and this is not slandering Jared Goff,
right.
but just for context, scrolling, 19th with 17. Darnold has twice as many, quote, big-time throws, according to PFF. Now, he also has way more turnover-worthy plays.
Yes.
Goff has far fewer. Goff is the more stable quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big deal in a game like this. You can't make the big mistake.
Because
if you have an empty drive or you have a big turnover, you're paving the way for the other team to put you away. And I think Detroit's the team that gets it done.
Right. Because they both have really good. Obviously, the Lions, we think the Lions have a better offense. But their offense is freaking good, too. I mean, let's be honest. Their wide receivers are awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things I think this game comes down to. Obviously, turnover is a big one, Stoney. I think red zone will be another huge one.
Yeah.
I think their run defense is a calling card, and the Lions' run offense is the bread and butter. I think those two go in toe-to-toe. And I do think you got to overcome it, but there could be a PI call in the game that we're all complaining about.
Yes.
You just can't let it be the backbreaker.
Pass interference, number zero.
It was third and 13. What do you mean it's a free first down 40 yards down the field? Overcome it.
Yeah.
Rally, and they've done a really good job handling adversity all season long. So I think that's another huge reason that I think they get it done. But you guys tell us your confidence level, your mood. Give us a word to describe how you're feeling with this matchup. It's 97.1.